Sorry. Sorry. Well, it is great to be back again. Thank you to Irene and Pastor Gideon for inviting me back. I was really excited about coming to see you guys. It does feel like coming home, actually. We always said if we lived in Greenwich, we'd definitely be coming here. So, you know, maybe God's calling us that way. I don't know. Who knows? If you have a word, it'd be great. Wasn't it great to thank God earlier? Thank God in our worship. Also to thank God as Gideon just got us to thank us, God, for all those little things. It just changes things, doesn't it? And as we were worshipping, I just had this sense, and I don't know if for anybody here, but I had a sense that God wanted to say to you, some of you may not feel my presence right now, but I want you to know that I am with you and I will never leave you and I will walk the path you are walking with and I am beside you every step of the way. Okay, for whoever that is for you today, take hold of that. It's what God wants to hear you to hear, which is sort of what I want us to move on to. Do you want to know Jesus better? That's what I like to hear. Great. Do you want to hear his voice this morning? Some of you may have already heard him. So I'm wondering, what words would he use to speak to you? How good are we at listening to him? Not sure about that. And how good are we at responding to him? And that's what I'm going to sort of focus on this morning. I want to focus on the words and phrases we are going to listen to this Advent. Advent starts this week, doesn't it? All right, it started on Friday, but this Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And what are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to this Advent? You know, words are really powerful, aren't they? They can either build us up, they can tear us down, and they can also define who we become. And that's what I want to look at today. But most of all, I don't know about you, but I want to become more like the person of Jesus. And I want him to be in me and to be determining who I am. So what's in a word? We all know it's a linguistic tool. Unfortunately, I am an English teacher, so I'm a little bit, you know, precious about words, and particularly the right order in which words go in a sentence. Okay, you've got nouns, you've got verbs, you've got all those prepositions, all those kind of things. There is an order. All right? Any youngsters amongst you doing GCSE English? See me afterwards. My first sentence was ungrammatical. There we go. English teacher's license. But they all have a role, don't they? And you put them all together, and it's interesting because Twitter calls them characters. Don't you? So I thought it was really interesting. They've all got a little character. And it's true, isn't it? And there's only 140, aren't there, words in Twitter. Characters in Twitter that you can use. But as I said, each of those words have a particular place in a sentence. And you put them all together and suddenly you're able to communicate. And if you can communicate, you can connect. And if you can connect, you can build community. But, and here's the but. This is what came to me recently, that actually too many words can overwhelm us. We've already had a lot of words already and it's slowly 25 to 12. And you hear a whole lot more words. But they can't they? They can overwhelm us, they can confuse us, they can create anxiety in us, they can create fear in us. And these words can be internal, they can be really deep down inside of us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find my mind is a swirl of words and they're competing for my attention. And they're not full sentences, sometimes they're amazing defense arguments though to an argument I'd like to have with somebody. Yeah, and I've got it all sewn up. But I know if I see them it'll go. But they're parts of conversations, there's observations. It's just my mind is full of words and I get worn out by them. And I feel my brain is buzzing. And actually, it looks a little like this, and I'm hoping my wonderful team can put this on. I don't know if you recognize this. Can we have me bears? Who's moving? There we are. Hopefully it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah? Anybody? Anybody relate to that, that's going on in your head? Yeah, and normally it's just about as I try to go to sleep. These flipping bears just bounce all over the place, all right? And that's what my mind's like. That's because words are just all over my head. Or they could be external words that we visualize and see. And if you look around us all the time, there are just words everywhere, aren't there? Absolutely everywhere. And I went into a shop recently, and these are some of these well-meaning sort of self-help type of words. So, embrace your journey. Yeah. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Oh, when it rains, look for rainbows. And when it's dark, look for stars. I apologize now if you've got this in your home. All right? Apologize now. I'm not dissing your words. Teenagers, you'll love this. True happiness is discovering free Wi-Fi. We went on holiday once with my teenage son, and there was no Wi-Fi. He was miserable until we got onto the boat, onto the tunnel, and suddenly, halfway across the channel, he got Wi-Fi. He became a normal boy again. But we are surrounded by words, aren't we? And I don't know about you, but I did a little bit of research, a little bit of Google, and I read an article by the Huffington Post, and it said, do you know how many thoughts we have in a day? Do you? Do you want a guesstimate? Look at that. 50 to 70,000 words per day. That's 3,000 an hour, and that's 35 to 48 per minute. I don't know how many people there are on that side, but about 35 people. That's how many words are going through your head a minute. It's crackers, isn't it? And a crowded mind makes for an overcrowded heart, which in turn gives little room for ourselves or others. I know when I'm stressed, when I've got lots of things on my mind, when I'm preoccupied with things, I do not have capacity for anything or anybody else. It affects my relationships. Does that sound familiar? Yeah? And as I was thinking about this topic, I sort of came up with a little bit of a poem. Again, the English teacher in me. It's a bit of a regular poem. It just seems to sort of capture what I want to say about words. Words. Pluck a word from the air, swirling amongst the myriads of others, fighting for attention. Words everywhere, anywhere, over there. Calling, searching, answering. Choose me, use me, ignore me. Words that attack, words that break, words that poison. Words that blur, words that merge, words that obscure, blinding my sight, my soul, my hope, crushing my certainty, stretching my sanity. But capture them, control them, expose them. Choose stillness, silence, retreat, and then choose words that build, that encourage, that uplift, words that heal, words of hope, words of joy, bringing life, light, and love. Because in the beginning was the Word. The words of the Lord are flawless. They're like silver purified in a crucible. They're like gold refined seven times. The Word of the Lord. We've been talking about the word of the Lord, haven't we? We've been praising Jesus. We've been hearing and listening to words. So I want us to read from God's word, a specific passage I want to look at. There are two specific passages, but today I want to read this passage. In the beginning was the word. Perhaps you can all read it with me, yeah? Let's read it together. It's great. All right, and two, three. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Why do we need to listen to Jesus? And that's effectively what John was trying to do in his message. His actual gospel doesn't start with a genealogy, if you notice. It doesn't start with the birth of Jesus. Mark just goes straight in there with John the Baptist. But John takes us back to the beginning. Because actually what John wanted to do was for us to understand who Jesus was. And when you grasp who he is, you're more likely to listen to what he says. And you're more likely to do what he asks you to do. You want to get to know Jesus more? Then we need to know who he is. So from the outset, John wants us to understand several things about Jesus. He shares God's eternity. in the beginning was the Word. He was with him at the beginning of the universe and was always at the heart of God. God, I love this, is always Jesus-like. And people say, oh, I don't know what God looks like. I don't know about God. Don't know about what God looks like. Well, actually, we do. Because Jesus is God. God is Jesus-like. So when you're struggling to find out what God is like, then we turn our eyes to Jesus. He also has an intimate relationship with God. The Word was God. It's like Father and Son. And finally, Jesus is one with God. And that's really key. Because actually, this affirms the deity of Jesus. His place in the being of God changes. He is God. And that's fundamental, isn't it, to our faith? Because if we don't understand the uniqueness of Jesus being God, then our faith really has no grounds. And actually, it's that uniqueness that separates us from other faiths. And we can't compromise on the uniqueness of Jesus. People try to, but in this day and age, we need to cling on to the fact that Jesus is God. And the only way to God is through Jesus. He alone is God come to us. He is our Emmanuel. So if this is this being true, Jesus has to be the center of our approach to God, doesn't he? All right, it has to be the center of our thinking and our relating to God, because Jesus sharing the nature of God actually means we have to respond to him. And we have to worship, obey, love, and serve him, because he is God. We want to draw closer to God? I do. Then let me focus on the person of Jesus. Let's read his word. Let's follow his example and allow him to change us from the inside out. That's the thing that happens, isn't it? That we're changed from the inside out. And those of us who are getting older know that we're changing in a different direction. But that doesn't stop us from changing on the inside. Yeah? My body may be deteriorating, but who I am inside should be becoming more like Jesus. Yeah? Don't stop that process. Paul, in Colossians 3, verse 16, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. How often do you allow the words that Jesus speaks to dwell? I love that word, dwell. A random moment now. Dwell. But it's an idea of living, inhabiting, becoming part of our very person, dwelling in us, in my mind and in my soul, as opposed to the words that I have allowed others or myself to speak into my life. Words such as, and you'll see them come up on the screen in a minute, disabled. I'm disabled. Yeah, I am disabled. That's a fact. But am I going to allow it to determine who I am and who I become? I can let it, can't I? I know people who have. Depressed, anxious, fake, reject, ugly, proud, unlovable, a burden, failure, bossy, selfish. Believe you me, you could probably add lots of other words that you have either had spoken over you or you have allowed yourself to believe about yourself. Do you agree with me? Yeah? Anybody shout out another word that they feel? A word that can be added to that list? Alone. Yeah. I'm alone. I'm alone because nobody wants to be with me. Yeah? These words actually speak into our mind and they speak into our soul. And this is the stuff that stops us from experiencing true freedom. It's the stuff that builds walls around us to prevent further hurt. And these words don't just stop at people. They actually affect how we open up to Jesus. Nobody loves me, so how can you love me, God? You know? I'm full of fear. I'm selfish. I'm bossy. You wouldn't want to know me. Yeah? And that prevents us from experiencing his love, his freedom, his wisdom, his guidance, his community. And you know what? Something I listened to a preach recently, a couple of weeks ago actually, and the young man preaching said, you know what? Nothing stops us from coming to God but ourselves. I love that. It's only you or I that stops me from getting to know Jesus. It's only you or I that stops me from getting to know God better. I put the barriers up because in Romans 8 it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's only you or I. Yeah, I'm too busy. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that. I don't like the way that that happens. I'm not really sure I believe that anymore. We put the barriers up. We stop ourselves from getting close to Jesus. So we are surrounded by all these words. How am I getting the word? How am I getting Jesus's words into my life? How do I make his word a permanent resident in my life? Okay? If I want to hear from God, I've got to spend some time with him, haven't I? How do I do that? Am I stopping myself from hearing? Because I don't actually want to change, thank you very much. I'm quite comfortable in my misery. I'm quite comfortable in my depression. You know, actually it's more difficult for me to change than to stay where I am. And that's a challenge for me and it's a challenge for all of you. So is it enough just to turn up on a Sunday morning to South Street, Greenwich? Is it enough? It's a great place. It's a place where you'll be welcomed. It's a place where you'll be loved. It's a place where you'll be listened to. That's great. But is it enough to develop your relationship with God? No, it's not. When you were a baby, did you feed yourself?
No.
I hope not. You're a very clever baby. You didn't feed yourself. You were desperate to feed yourself, though. I've just seen my niece. She's just turned one. And, you know, get the spoon away. I want to do it myself, okay? And as adults, I hope nobody here is being fed by anybody else at the moment. You know, as we get older in our lives, there may become a time when we have to be fed. But we are desperate to feed ourselves, aren't we? So why aren't we applying that to our spiritual life? Yeah? You need to do something. We need to do something about it ourselves. Just coming here and expecting your pastors just to tell you about Jesus all the time and you go off and think that's enough is not enough. It's just not enough. Okay? That's like you being a baby and being fed. God wants you to take whatever he's heard this morning and he wants you to do something with it this week. He wants you to spend time with him, however that might be. So we need to read the Bible. We need to listen to podcasts. There's so much out there. Recently, I've run a life skills course, and we then went on and did a mini alpha course off the back of it. And suddenly the light went on when suddenly people realized they could get the YouVersion Bible on their phones. Yeah, you can get the Bible in your phones, isn't it? You know, how much time do you spend? Right, myself included. If I've got a few minutes, I'm waiting. What am I doing? Come on, give me. What am I doing? Twittering, what else might I be doing? WhatsApp?
What?
Facebook. Yeah, sorry, you got me absolutely spot on, young lady. Facebook, yeah, a bit of scroll, a bit of cyber stalking. But the thing is, actually, why don't I just spend reading the Bible? Why don't I do that? It is true, isn't it? Yeah? My challenge to you and to myself is, if I've got a few minutes, why don't I just read the Bible? YouVersion have their wonderful work, you know, their little verse for the day. There's always something you can read about the Bible. So why aren't we doing it? My challenge to you and my challenge to myself. The bottom line is we do actually become like the company we keep. Have you heard that expression? And whose company are you keeping? Who are you being influenced by? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you exposing yourself to? Because that's ultimately the thing. What words are you allowing to get into all those 50 to 70,000 words a day? Which words are you allowing to come into your head? Because if we're not careful, those words can determine our thinking and our actions. And if you look at society at the moment, we're in a bit of a bad place. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah? We've had Trump. We've had Brexit. I rest my case. But the point is, is that people are beginning to say things that perhaps 10 years ago they didn't feel they could. And it's destroying and it's destructive. But people are listening to them. You know, you've only got to look on Facebook or Britain First and stuff like that. You've only got to look at other things like that. And actually, that stuff is negative and destructive. Is it coming into our churches? There's a danger it will, because that's what people are listening to. And we as a community of followers of Jesus Christ have to be different, don't we? We have to speak and think differently because we are drawing on Jesus and his words, not the word that society throws out or the latest Facebook status or the latest Twitter feed. What does Jesus say on these topics? You know, you may not be interested in politics, but what does Jesus say on the gender issue? What does he say on these things? As far as I'm aware, in what he's saying, he said, we are all created equally. There's neither male nor female. There's no race within Jesus. We are all one. That's really powerful because that affects how I relate to you and how you relate to me. We're told to love our enemies. Yeah, that's really tough, isn't it? I just watched an amazing talk by Immaculée, what's her name? Come on. You know, Immaculée, she's a Rwandan, a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. If you get a chance to Google her or look on YouTube, all her family were killed in the genocide, and she survived. And she learned to forgive. She learned to love her enemies. And when you hear someone like that speaking about the power of God to change the way she was thinking and the way she was acting, you've got to believe there is a God. Yeah? Because humanly speaking, I know I couldn't have done it. And she couldn't have done it either. There is power in that. We are called to kingdom values, not worldly values. But that comes from checking our thinking, checking what words we're listening to, allowing the word of God to dwell in us richly. Now, I love that word richly. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? And it suggests abundance. It suggests generosity. It suggests completely. The word is going to live in us completely and totally, splendidly and absolutely. But I love the idea of it being a generous thing, because God's word dwelling in us makes us generous, doesn't it? Yeah, generous how we act to others, how we think about others. But you and I know that it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. Because we need to spend time and we need to make that a priority. And recently, over the last few years, I've read a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. I think I've mentioned that before. Which has really helped me practice stopping and listening in the daily office, just to allow God to speak to me and allow his word to dwell in me. We also have something called 14, which is a retreat for women, and we just go and spend a day in silence. Another book I've just finished reading is John Ortberg's Soul Keeping, which is absolutely fantastic again. How are you looking after your soul? What are you doing to look after your soul? And recently, I've got the red chair that sits out in our kitchen, and I've got a big kitchen window, and I just sat there, and in what he was saying is, how often can you sit and do nothing? Now, sometimes some of you will think, well, when I come to church, I sit and do nothing. Hour and a half, sit and do nothing. Don't engage, just sit and do nothing. It's wonderful. That's not the point. But actually stopping. And we're coming into a really busy season, aren't we, with Advent? You've got some amazing things going on at church. Where are you building time in your week and time in your day to stop and be still so that you can allow God's words to dwell in you, can allow him to affect your thinking? I know that if I don't do that, I burn out. Now, interesting, words affect our mind, don't they, and our thinking, and they also affect our actions. And recently, we went down to spend some time in the summer with some friends who have a very wonderful, comfortable lifestyle, and we had a great day. But on my way back, I was sitting in the car, And I began subconsciously to compare my life with theirs. Ever done that? Yeah. Comparing it. Okay. And suddenly my mind became cluttered with words like, it's unfair. They're privileged. Should have been us. Yeah? And you know what happened? My comparison was stealing my joy. And it was stealing my peace. And I heard a little God whisper. And that whisper said, be content in every and any situation. But I had a choice. I could choose to listen to those words. We all have a choice. You can choose to listen to anything you've heard this morning. Okay, it's your choice. Don't forget, nothing stops us from encountering God's love. It's just us getting in the way. I had a choice to do something. I could listen to those words of life, or I could listen to the words that would destroy and depress me. I chose, somewhat begrudgingly, I'm not going to say that, oh yeah, it was just really easy. I just went, oh yeah, I'll listen to the words of God. It was begrudgingly, I chose to listen and to be thankful. I have learned, as I've preached to you before, the power of thankfulness. Yeah? I wouldn't be here if I hadn't the power of thankfulness. To thank God daily. But I thanked God for what he'd done for me and that he was with me. And that actually all that mattered was to love him. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And you know what? As I changed my focus, I experienced his peace. And my attitude changed. My equilibrium was restored. But I had that choice. So not only does it affect my emotions and how I think, listening to the word of God also affects our actions. Because the word of God can guide us, can't it? Jesus can guide us. What's the next step, God? What have I got to do here? How am I meant to do this? How am I meant to deal with my teenage son? Yeah? How am I meant to deal with my young adult daughter who's driving me mad? It's not coming from personal experience, honest. This isn't taped, is it? How do I deal with it? It is, oh my gosh, yeah, la 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 la. She won't listen. You know, how do I deal with my difficult work colleagues who don't know how to be polite to one another, you know, or be kind? We need God's word in our everyday, don't we? Yeah? We need him to help us. You know, God, how am I going to cope? I have no money. What's going to happen? You know? I'm on my own. My kids are struggling. What am I going to do? We need God's word in those times. Now, as Andy and I approach this Advent period, we're learning to trust God. And we are being obedient, trying to be obedient to the words he's spoken to us. Because as of this week, Andy has stepped down from his job at the Cerith Community Church as he feels God is calling him to something else. As yet, that something else hasn't materialized. And the word that we feel, certainly the word that I felt over us at the moment, is wait. And I've turned it into an acronym which stands for Who Am I Trusting? Who am I trusting? When God says wait to you, and you know what? God isn't very quick, I've noticed. Has anybody experienced that? Yeah? Yeah. How many years did Abraham pray? 25, you know. How many years did the people of Israel wait for the Messiah? 400. You know, God works in his own time. And we are living in a hurry society, aren't we? Yeah? And actually, we need to learn not to hurry. But who am I trusting? Every time you sense that word, God is waiting. And in one sense, this Advent, it's all about waiting, isn't it? We're waiting for the birth of Jesus. Who am I trusting? Just to assure you, we haven't just stepped out of the boat because we felt like it was a good idea. We have listened to wise counsel. But also, God has spoken to us through his written word. He's spoken to us through the prophetic, through pictures, through sermons. And that's what gives you confidence, isn't it? That gives you confidence to get out of the boat and walk on water. Yeah? And we know that the fact is that Jesus hasn't let us down in the past. We may have doubted his methods. You know, I did lose my leg. Not sure about that method. But we may doubt it. But in the end, he does come through for us. And he's shown us that a life of sacrifice can also be a life of blessing. Far, far better than a Black Friday deal. But I have to choose again. It's all about choice again, isn't it? I've got to choose to trust. I've got to choose to trust and choose to listen to the words that are actually going to help. He promises that he will never leave me. And he promises that to you as well. And when fear grips me and when I'm worried about them not having enough money, I've got to choose to allow his words to live in me and to invade my mind. And then in turn, they help me get my emotions in check. Yeah, it all starts here, doesn't it? It's in the mind. And our emotions sort of kick off as a result of that. So to close, in a short while, I'm going to actually give us the gift of silence. All right? You will all have a postcard. Hopefully the ushers will pass that round in a minute. But you don't have to write on it. You know me and my writing. But it might help you as you've listened in the silence to jot down a word or a phrase or a picture that you feel God is speaking to you. I want to assure you this is an opportunity. It's not a pressure point. You may have recognized some of those negative words that I spoke to you this morning. And you may have determined that's how you feel about yourself and your relationship with Jesus. Recently, whilst I was visiting another church, during the worship, I began to identify an emotion. It was fear. Physical fear. I was frightened that God's not going to come through for Andy or I. And it gripped me. And it brought back memories of how I wasn't healed the way we wanted me to be healed. But what I did is I allowed it to come to the surface and I recognized it. And I thought, do you know what, God? I am frightened. That word was exposed. And it was exposed before God. There was no instant removal of that fear. But over time, as I've acknowledged it, God began to change that and to put peace into my heart. So on your postcards, when you get them, write down a word. A negative word, perhaps. A word that you just think, this is, you know, that word lonely. Yeah? And maybe to cross that out or rip it up and turn it over the other side and go, what does Jesus say about me? You're my beloved child. I am with you to the end of the age. The words that Jesus says to you are incredible words. He says you are lovable. He says you are chosen. He says you are a blessing. He says you are valuable. He says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says these amazing things about who you are. You are his son. You are his daughter. We are his children. We're forgiven. If Jesus forgives us, that's enough. He says you're healed. So do we want to become more like him? Do we want to know Jesus better? So let's focus on the words that Jesus brings to us. Our Savior, our Prince of Peace, our Counselor, our Comforter, our Emmanuel, God with us. Not only are we going to impact ourselves, but we will impact our relationships. By loving God, we have the strength to love others and to bring in his kingdom. If you are unused to silence, and I know some of you might be, and your mind is racing, I'll just give you a couple of tips. One of them is to just to breathe, literally. Breathe out your stress and your anxieties. And then breathe in the Holy Spirit. Or imagine God asking this question. As he asked Elijah at Mount Horeb, what are you doing here? God is here. God is with us. And he's asking, what are you doing here? And you know what? Elijah was honest with God. And when Elijah was honest with God, he heard that still, small voice. Be honest with God right where you are now. Allow the Holy Spirit to stir up in you a word that this Advent he wants you to hold on to. He wants you to explore with him. He wants you to allow it to dwell richly in you. So let's focus on the Word, our Saviour, our Emmanuel, God with us. There's some words coming up on the screen from a song, Take Courage. And if you're not sure what to focus on, these words can be really powerful. So we have 3 minutes now of silence. He who belongs to God hears what God says. And if we just call the worship team up, we could just finish with a song.